Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Members of the Garda Representative Association are set to refuse to work voluntary overtime on the five Tuesdays coming up in October, and that's starting next week. Now, the dates include Halloween and Budget Day. Rank and file members have also said they'll continue to operate their old roster despite changes the Commissioner says are coming on the 6th of November. This is before this planned all-out strike action next month, which individual members say they plan to do if a deal on their concerns is not reached. Well, I'm joined in the studio by Brendan O'Connor, who's GRA President. You're very welcome, Brendan. Now, this seems to be an intractable situation. And just to set it out, you're agreed with the Commissioner, aren't you, that a brand new roster is needed if this high visibility policing that the government wants to see on our streets, if that's going to be delivered. So what gets you back in the room to discuss it?
There's only one thing keeping us out of the room, and that is the Commissioner's insistence that we go back onto the pre-COVID roster on the 6th of November. That is the only impediment to our presence in the room. We believe that that's a very reasonable position to take. And as you alluded to earlier, the search is on to find an alternative long-term solution. And we're just saying this, let's find that and move on to that once. Don't disrupt our members' lives twice. And we think that is an entirely justifiable and reasonable position. We're in dispute at the moment, and we would say, let the status quo persist until we find a resolution.
So if he dropped that November 6th plan, you'd be back in the room?
We'd be in the room straight away.
You told Morning Ireland yesterday that your members are being asked to cover a lot of gaps, that the force is being carried at the moment by overtime. No one sees the current COVID roster that's in place at the moment, or the pre-COVID roster. I think it's called the Westminstown roster. This is the one he plans to reintroduce on the 6th of November as the long-term solution. So where do you see it being resolved? Who is going to come up with the resolution?
Well, we ourselves have a resolution. We have a proposal on the table, much of which the bones would actually were the subject of, were agreed in principle at the Westminster negotiations that didn't actually conclude with a final deal. But many of the things that are in there are in our proposal, and also established rosters that are delivering in the most some of the most important units in the country that investigate serious crime, that results in preventing gangland hits, resulted in the recovery of millions of euro of drug generated revenue, and also a lot of firearms off the streets.
And has the Commissioner given you an indication as to what he sees as the solution?
No, well, the Commissioner initially had stated that the report that came out of Westminster initially that he would consider that was the way forward, but that was totally unacceptable to our members. So we believe our proposal is a compromise, and it's very workable. I hate to use the word, but it is an oven-ready deal. We could transfer onto it tomorrow morning. We have a working time. It fits in with our existing working time agreements. There's very few loose ends we pulled together. Gives us management a bit of flexibility, and provides, we believe, the balance between providing a service to the public and also meeting the Commissioner's obligations to police the country.
So you want to tell the boss what to do?
We don't want to tell the boss what to do. We want common sense to prevail, and we want to sit down and reach agreement, because we were agreed on a lot of the elements of the roster, and agreement can be found.
But you have said the relationship with the Commissioner is irreparable. Your members have voted no confidence in him. I mean, it's clear you want him out.
Well, the vote of no confidence goes a lot deeper than just rosters. There's a lot of issues in Garda Síochána that have come to the fore in recent years that are seriously impacting on our members. And
like what?
Well, number one is rosters, we believe. Issues like welfare. There's a conversation out there that, you know, welfare is a focus on this. We have members who are out sick and need to see the CMO. That's our internal medical officer. Delays of up to and over a year to see a doctor to get back to work. And again, it's kind of a contradictory, because we hear about civilianisation, and what our members are told, if you don't need your Garda powers, someone else can do your job. Yet medical expertise is a field that's available in the private sector. A lot of surgeons and doctors are qualified. The work could be outsourced. Our members could see doctors regionally. We've people waiting so long to see a doctor to try and get back to work. The recruitment and retention issue is a huge problem. That's actually leading to really the crux of all our problems is recruitment and retention. We are working through that.
Is that not a government issue here? And there's some people who might not understand why you've targeted your ire at the Garda Commissioner. And we heard on this programme yesterday from Professor Cian O'Crohur, who said, you mentioned civilianisation here. Years and years of a lack of investment in An Garda Síochána has left us in this position. Now, that's a government problem, not a commissioner problem, because he can only play with the hand he's dealt.
Yes, that is true. And you can never have enough resources. But we believe the manner in which the organisation has been managed in recent years, the direction in which it's going, the implementation of a lot of policies are actually, they're taking away from the fabric and the ethos of community policing as we know it and how we carry out our job. We believe we've been undermined, our position in relation to discretion, the use of discipline, the inappropriate use of discipline, and this has been recognised by the policing authority, where actually discipline is used as instead of training. We see a very rigid application of discipline rules. We also see even the process is questioned. We've seen numerous examples where a board of inquiry, which is chaired by an independent person, quite often a barrister or a senior counsel, will come to a decision. It goes to the commissioner's office and the penalty that has been reached has been increased. We've seen an unprecedented number of suspensions.
So the roster issue really is the Trojan horse here, you're saying. There's a lot of other things at play.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't say it's a Trojan horse. I'd say it's the straw that broke the camel's back and the one that crystallises and demonstrates.
Okay, but if the roster issue was solved in the morning and if you got all of your demands on the roster issue, the GRA still wouldn't be happy with Drew Harris.
Well, we wouldn't be happy and we want to see progress on these other issues. But what the roster issue has done is it has crystallised the problem. It has shown and demonstrated the attitude that we're coming up against, the lack of engagement.
Yeah, but it brings me back to what I said to you earlier. You want him out.
Well, we want a change of attitude and we want a change of approach and we want to sit down and have an input, which we are statutorily entitled to have. We are constituted actually by statute, which is underpinned by secondary legislation, and we have our constitutional role of being the collective voice of members of An Garda Síochána of Garda rank, and we feel that the processes that we had of engagement simply are not being adhered to and not delivering. And you talk about civilianisation. We had a working party on civilianisation on the job under Commissioner Harris's watch that was just dissolved. Without finalisation of the policy.
So Professor O'Crohur said that in other jurisdictions, 50% of the police force is staffed by civilian workers. Here it's 20%. Surely that you should be really pushing on that one.
Well, what we would say is that the 20% that are here aren't being utilised to relieve guards of their duty. And again, we're told that part of the modernisation programme, there has been a significant increase in Garda staff who provide support to the organisation. But what we see is operational Gardaí have not been relieved of any function, and quite often in a lot of the divisions where the OPM has been rolled out and the civilian staff have been used, there's more administration, more layers of bureaucracy, and it's administration that is growing, not operational policing.
Yeah, like at any time you'll find workers in different organisations who'll say, Brendan, that they're not happy with the boss, or people in opinion polls will say they're not happy with the government, not happy with how the country is being run. But what happens if this is not resolved after the 10th of November? How do you walk your members back down the hill?
Well, we don't want to get into that position. That's 6 weeks away and there is time for intervention. So that's why we're appealing to the government.
So you're hoping that the threat is going to result in the minister intervening here and telling the commissioner what to do. And if she does that, he can't. Can he stay in his position if the minister tells him how to do his job?
Well, I suppose operational matters are for the business of the commission, but we would say that the situation is so dire. It's unprecedented. We have almost 99% of the members who cast a vote, and that was 85% of our members. So this goes beyond normal industrial relations. There's something fundamentally wrong that needs to be addressed. And what we see is a constant denial that there is problems. And that's why we're having a difficulty. The Garda Commissioner is still on record to say there is no issue with morale. And that's why we believe that you cannot address any problem unless you actually acknowledge it and move towards solving it. But we see a total denial of the existence of problems.
Everything you've said to me this morning points to the fact that the GRA believe that Drew Harris has to go. Bottom line.
Well, we have a very difficult relationship with the current Garda Commissioner. And as we've seen in the period since the vote was announced, that there hasn't been a move. And what we've called for is a change in mindset. We're appealing to the Garda Commissioner to look at how things are done and to do them better. And we will meet him in doing that, we will step up the plate with our obligation, but simply we're not seeing that being reciprocated.
Yeah. What about Halloween night? You know, one of the trickiest nights of the year, we know, for policing and for the emergency services. And what about the other frontline staff who will be out on that night? The fire service, the ambulance drivers, the frontline healthcare workers. Are you saying to them, you're pretty much on your own because we only have a skeleton staff to offer? That's a decision that we've taken.
Well, we're not saying that we're on our own, but we will say that there is a possibility there would be less capacity to respond. But our members make up for the shortfalls in those services quite regularly. And of course, people have to be cognizant of their safety and carry out dynamic risk assessments. But unfortunately, our members are so frustrated, their back is to the wall, they're facing uncertainty in their lives, they're seeing your previous piece focused on the cost of living and the increasing cost of living. The decisions that have been implemented are actually increasing that pressure on our members. So they're just feel frustrated, and they felt that have no other option because their voice is not being heard through their elected representatives at the negotiating table.
But you're also sending out the message to people who would cause trouble on budget day, for example, that it's open season. And we saw what happened outside of Leinster House on the first day back.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our members are simply highlighting the fact that those problems that you refer to, it's our members' goodwill, our flexibility, us going beyond the call of duty to police these events, and it's not appreciated, it's taken for granted, and the goodwill and the flexibility is not being reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And as I say, there's only one issue that can get us back in the room and get a solution, and this will not come
That's
to pass.
November the 6th. But you're not the only representative organisation in the force. Would you have expected more support from the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors on this issue? Because they will have to agree any new roster deal too.
Well, any new roster will involve all parties in the organisation. But unfortunately, we are focused solely on our own business and we don't comment on the strategy and policy of other staff associations. We represent.
Do they support you? What have they said to you?
Well, they adopt their own position and I wouldn't like to interpret or speak on their behalf, but we represent the almost 11,000 members who deliver policing on the front line.
All right, Brendan, we'll leave it there. Thank you for coming in. Brendan O'Connor there, President of the Garda Representative Association.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.